Welcome back to another episode of the Shine Podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Starr. I had the honor of speaking with Leslie Kuster on the show today about female entrepreneurship, her story of building multiple seven-figure income, but also mindset shift, focus, spiritual focus, money, and the most important thing, for success. Leslie is also the author of the new book, Seven Keys to Seven Figures, The Women Entrepreneur's Guide to Money and Freedom, has been an entrepreneur for over 30 years, and talks about listening to our instinct. I am so excited about this conversation, so let's get right to it. So I've really been looking forward to my conversation with Leslie, and I could go on and on about how strong and courageous you've been in business and what an amazing entrepreneur you are and how you've grown all of that. But before we jump into that, I want to hear a little bit about your story from you as we're talking about female entrepreneurship. So will you talk a little bit about your story and your business?
Thank you. Well, being an entrepreneur basically is a PhD times 20 in life, because that's what being an entrepreneur really is. And as you have businesses that you grow, the reason why it's a PhD in life is because you literally are learning about everything, because that's what you have to do as an entrepreneur. You have to learn, what an income statement is, and you have to learn what net profit means, and you have to learn what the word VA means and team means. And it just goes on and on and on and on. And so that has really been my story, is knowing nothing and then learning to know something. Mm. And that is something that's really important for listeners to hear, that, you're not really born successful. It doesn't really happen that, some people are just lucky, or some people are just successful, or, there's some old joke from some comedian was like, it took me 20 years to be an overnight success.
Yes.
Right. Mm. And that is my story. So my story is that, back a long time ago, and we're talking 30 years ago, I'm 65 right now. And 30 years ago, I just had it with working for other people. Honestly, I wasn't very good at it. I just wasn't a good employee. And I was always craving to have freedom and to have my own time and all of that. So I quit working in the corporate. I was in PR. When I was about 30 years old, I went on a trip. I decided I'm going to go traveling. I always wanted to go to the country of Indonesia. I would look at the map and I saw a whole line of islands, which includes Bali. And I just thought, I want to go traveling there. And I did. And I took a trip that took me on about a 7-month trip. Loved it, loved the country, loved the people, loved the beauty. Returned back to New York City, which is where I was living then, and needed to get a job. And I was looking through the New York Times for the jobs, which is what you did back then. You could open newspapers. And there just wasn't one job in the whole newspaper that I wanted. And with that, I had a light bulb moment, where I just thought, I remember seeing gorgeous clothing in Bali. And I wonder if I went back there, brought it back to the US, did street fairs, markets, whatever, if it would sell. And I had such a horrible feeling about getting a job that anything would have been better than getting a job. And I just thought, you know what? I'm gonna do it. And I literally jumped back on a plane. I got a duffel bag, because back then you can schlep lots of stuff back. I bought things off the street. I brought it back to New York, did the street fairs, literally was attacked at the street fair by so many women buying my clothing. Wow. And within 2 weeks, I was back in Indonesia buying more and bringing more back. And that is how I started my business, literally on the street. And that is the beginnings of my story.
I love that. And I didn't even know that part. And I've listened to a few things that you've spoken on of your journey, and I did not know that part. I love hearing that. Something you said, I had to write it down, was when you start as a business owner, I mean, you don't know what you don't know, and you know nothing. You just know that you have a passion. And I know for myself, when I started as a photographer, same thing. I thought, I'm just going to take photos. And that's really like 10%, maybe 10% of the actual business when you're actually a business owner. And it is so much more than that. The umbrella over what you want to do is so much more, and you don't realize it till you're in business. And so I love that you touched on that too. Will you then go into, because now you're huge on Amazon and how you sell, will you speak on that, how it shifted from street fairs to like e-commerce?
Yeah. And thank God I did. Thank God I did, because it took me a while to get off the street, to tell you the truth, because I was doing these holiday markets at Christmas time, Hanukkah time in New York City. And it, you know, you actually make quite a lot of money in a very short period of time. But what happened to me was I then got a coach, okay, which was something very, very new for me. Mm-hmm. And after working with her for a little bit of time, she said to me, Leslie, it's time for you to stop doing these fairs. Just stop. And it was a really big moment for me. And I realized she was right. And I just did stop at that time. Mm-hmm. And really, this was what I consider really the beginning of my business, even though I've been in business for literally almost 35 years, almost. I would say the beginning of my business really started maybe 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. I changed my product line. I got very serious about wanting to be successful. And that was the shift for me. So during those first, oh my God, like, I don't know, 20 years, let's just call it, which is a really long time, I never was able to bring my business over the $100,000 mark in sales. Okay. I'm not talking about in my pocket, but literally in revenue. And by the way, that is very common for most women entrepreneurs. In fact, only 10% do over $100,000 a year in revenue, 10%, and 3% that do multiple millions. Wow. So majority of women entrepreneurs are doing 100,000 or less. And that was definitely my story. And I was, you know, in the maybe $60,000, $80,000 mark until my early 50s. And in my early 50s, I just felt enough is enough. I'm tired of not doing better. I know I'm really smart. I know I have it in me, and I'm really tired of expecting it to come from my husband or father or some other guy. And I made a very clear decision that on my next birthday, I was going to be doing over $100,000 a year, because I was so fed up with myself and I wanted more. I wanted more money. I wanted more success. I wanted to have more independence. I wanted to not be what I call in the princess tower. And I have a book coming out in the fall called Seven Keys to Seven Figures. Mm-hmm. And what I talk about a lot in the book is how I was in the princess tower. And I know many women still are, even young women, I understand, in their early 20s, there's still a little bit of this idea of marrying money and then I'll be taken care of and all of that. And that was definitely my mindset. And that's how I was brought up. But in my early 50s, I just thought, this is crazy. I'm not living up to my potential, and that's it. I'm going to do it. And I did.
Yeah. There was something that I was reading about you that you said that you were stuck at like 50, 60, 70,000 for quite some time. And then that desire, that want changed. So then you also touched on at some point, your focus had to change. So what did that look like? Like, yes, let's say that is my passion and my desire. I don't want to be stuck at this number. I know that I can do more. What do those little steps look like after that?
Yeah. Well, what it is called focus. That's the one of the biggest steps after that. So I mean, the first step is actually wanting it, like really, really, really wanting. And I had that. That was it. I wanted it. It was going to change. The second step, and this is, I think, something a lot of women entrepreneurs get into, which is lack of focus. Mm-hmm. And that was definitely my story. It wasn't that I wasn't I wasn't lazy. In fact, at that time when I was doing still only 60, 70, whatever, 80,000 a year, I actually had two businesses. I had the business I have now, which is Back From Bali, which is women's resort clothing that I design, manufacture in Bali and bring it into the US to sell. And another passion of mine, and still is helping women become, you know, empowered. And I worked with young girls. It was called Girl Power. And Girl Power was like an after school empowerment program. So I had Girl Power and I had Back From Bali. And I basically had two businesses. And what I found was that when I would focus on one, sales would go up, you know, I would get more girls in the program, and Back From Bali would start going down and I wouldn't get many sales. And then I would run over to Back From Bali and I would, you know, maybe go to Bali, I would manufacture, I'd bring it in, do whatever I was doing to get sales. And I started losing people in Girl Power. So when I was sitting in that desk in Huntwang in Switzerland, which is where I was at the time, because my husband is Swiss, and I said, enough is enough. What I realized was that I had to give up one of the businesses and I needed to focus. And that was a huge, difficult decision. And one that I knew if I didn't, I will never be successful. So I did. And then came the second issue of it, which is, which one do I give up? They both actually had a lot of potential. I mean, Girl Power, empowerment, I could have franchised it. I was very good at it. I had my master's in clinical social work. I know that could have really expanded. And which was interesting at the time is this conflict I had between my head and my heart. And my head was actually saying I should stick with Girl Power because it's, quote, spiritual and helpful. And Back From Bali is materialistic and it's just about me. But what I started to realize was that was my head talking and not really my heart talking, even though I thought it was the opposite. Yeah. But I got such a physical feeling in me, like a gut feeling that I should put my focus on Back From Bali, that when I said it to myself sitting in the chair, that's it. I'm going to focus on Back From Bali. I'm letting Girl Power go. I felt like there were angels in the room singing hallelujah. And I got like tingles up and down my spine. And there was this feeling of like, what took you so long? Mm-hmm. And that was it. So that was the decision. And that was what I, in a quote, did in order to get me towards a more successful business.
I really appreciate that about you, because I've spoken in the past too about how our gut instinct really does help us in business, especially as women, when we're so in tune with that. And when you decided to focus on Back From Bali and drop that other business for at least that time, I know for myself, that's been absolutely true. There's just been little steps. Mine wasn't quite that big and don't do it, do it. But there's little steps where I'm like, I just feel it. There's something I need to do this, whether it was offer a shoot for free or some other little step. And not until you're now a few steps ahead, can you look back and go, that's why I had that feeling, because it brought me a way that I wouldn't have gotten to where I was unless I did those things. So I think it's so important to be in touch with those gut instincts that we have and women's intuition in business. And can you then explain or maybe talk about how we can actually hone in on that as women and use that feminine power for us in business?
Yeah, well, this is my topic, actually. Yeah. It really is, because, you know, this has been the question I've had my whole life in business. Is like, when I was working before in a job, what I didn't like about it is, you know, that I didn't have any freedom anymore. I didn't have time to have a nap, which is something women, we need to have naps. We need to have downtime. We need to have empty time. And, you know, when you're on someone else's schedule, you don't. But then also what happens is when you start a business, you're all of a sudden on, you know, your evil boss schedule, and the evil boss is actually yourself. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's actually a big red flag. So my commitment always was to freedom and to making sure that I was living authentically to myself, you know, which meant I needed my downtime. I needed my empty time. that was really what my focus was. And in order to do that, really, you have to meditate, okay? That's really what you need to do. You need to create a practice in your life that takes you away from your daily life and your daily thoughts. And honestly, there truly is no other way to do it. We have to understand that we have a spiritual self, and we have another soul living inside of us that is us, that we can rely on. And in order to connect with that, with our spirits, we need to get away from the daily life and what that means, and our thoughts that are going all the time. And to do that, you need a practice. So whether it's for me, it's been meditation. I mean, for me, I started 30 years ago going to a spiritual retreat in New Mexico, which to this day I still go to, and in fact is where I met my husband 30 years ago as well. And you know, I practice every day. I think it's important actually to speak about this, because this is a business. We're talking about entrepreneurship and everything. But the truth is, I do believe the success of my business has been because I have put my spirituality first, or maybe not first, but it's here all the time. And when I lose track of it, which by the way, I did a few months ago, which you could talk about if you want to, but when then things go off track really, really badly. So I spend every morning, I don't make it fancy. I literally sit up in bed and I do my practices, breathing, focusing on my heart. And I have a practice and I have an ability to go into another world that is beyond my business and beyond myself. And that is how your original question, just remind everybody, was like, how do you feel your gut? That was your question. And that's such an important question. Well, this is how you feel your gut. And if you don't make the space, you will never feel it. And you will just be basically running after your to-do list all the time. Mm-hmm. And also running after success that is not authentic to you.
Absolutely. There's so many, I'm over here writing notes of yes. And I have felt that even for my own business, my growth in business only comes after my growth in self. And people always have asked about that, like, well, how can that be? That doesn't make sense. Clearly, that's not moving the money needle. But I found as I grew, I would, like you said, be more connected with my spiritual self. And in doing so, I'd make the decisions that were actually correct and not just correct by paper. And the other thing that I love that you said is you met your husband on a spiritual retreat, which really is saying something. And I had to write that down. But it's so true. My growth lately, I think there's different seasons where I'll be sitting in a chair and doing meditation or prayer, whatever you want to call it. And lately mine's been on my walk, podcast, thinking, and it just gets my creative mind going. It quiets. I don't have everything around me that's to do. And I think that's vastly important, like you said, in order to grow, is to allow
vastly important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think in general, women are more burdened than ever time, like ever, at least, I don't know, at least since I've been alive, let's put it that way. You know, the amount that's on our shoulders and businesses and relationships and children and obligations and social media and posting and videos and this and, you know, all the things to do. And without having some kind of spiritual practice, you're going to be not good, basically.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Your welfare is so important. And without having health in inner health, you know, you just can't have outer health, just both in your body and in the success of your business.
Yes. What you said was that you feel like we have so much on our shoulders. And now because we want to be working, we want to own businesses. But I still personally like a house that's in order, and it just adds another whole emotional load on us. Like you said, there's just so much on our shoulders. And there's something that you said, I listened to you earlier, that you speak on wonder and following our wonders what that actually is. And of course, that's kind of still that feminine intuition, but with that twinge of wonder, will you speak on that a little bit?
When I got back from that Indonesia trip first time and I was sitting on my bed and I opened up the New York Times, that's what I said. I said, I wonder if I jumped on the plane and went back to Bali and bought clothing, I wonder if I would sell it. And that is a seed of genius. Whenever anyone listening to this has that question that goes through their head that says, I wonder if I quit the job. I wonder if I broke up with this person. I wonder if I started this business. I wonder if I stopped doing this business. Whatever it is, that is your intuition talking to you. And we need to follow our wonders. That's what it is. That's that. And not everybody has the same wonder. That's the thing. That's why there's room for everybody to... Yeah. To build the life they want, because not everybody wonders the same thing.
Of course. Yeah. I think about even friends who they just wonder if they can do a certain hobby. It's not necessarily money making or huge growth and helping other people, but it might be something internal. And a lot of times women, they think that they can't even do those small things. And they think the wonder is just too big of a dream. And it hurts me for them, because anytime that there's a wonder, it's like that was placed in you for a reason to try it. And it might not even be the end result or end reason, but for to follow those wonders is going to lead us then to a bigger wonder or how to shift and use those. So I love that you said that.
And I love what you just said, that it was placed inside of you for a reason. And I really, and this is so incredibly important. You wouldn't have the wonder, you wouldn't have the interest, you wouldn't have the need, you wouldn't have the want, you wouldn't have the yearning, you wouldn't have all of those if it wasn't placed somehow inside of you for you to follow.
Yes. Yeah. And kind of going in that direction, when we're talking about like friends and other women, I know for me, I have different groups of friends that each give and receive in different ways, and you pour into one another and you need them differently, which is wonderful. But I do have some that are building more wealth than me. They're making more money, which is great. And we don't talk about money enough. And what they do for me is, even without talking about money, it inspires me. Not out of jealousy, not that I feel like I'm not good enough, but it just helps me see freedom and growth in other people and inspires me. And so can you speak on why it is so important, especially for women, to talk about money and goals and growth?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I mean, listen, I love money, and I want my yearning is to encourage women to say they love money. Okay. Because why not? All right. What are you going to say? I hate money. Is that going to bring anything to you? No, no whatsoever. And there is so much shaming for women who want money or who talk about money. It's much more acceptable for a woman to say, for example, you know, I would do my business even if I made no money.
Right.
Or money is not important to me. And these kind of statements, which are so common that you would really never hear a man say, all right, is what is, I believe, the reason why only 10% of women make over $100,000 a year, because we associate a lot of times being nice with not making money or not focusing on money. Mm-hmm. Making money for yourself, making money for your family, making money for your community is very, 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 very nice. And if you also just want to make money so you can buy a 600 pair of shoes, I actually think that's also really, really nice. So we don't want to put these judgments on ourselves about money. But there's a lot of them, because money is not feminine, all right? Money is masculine. Money is not feminine. And a lot of women struggle with this fear of being perceived as money hungry, of greedy, is not a woman, not feminine, not caring, not giving, all of those things. And this really has to change. And how do you change it? You change it by loving money, by talking about money, by sharing money stories, by understanding what your money story is, which basically means how you were brought up and your beliefs about money. And not being fearful about it, but we are fearful. And, you know, I could share a couple stories of that. I was in basically like a mastermind group. Okay. It was a Facebook, private Facebook mastermind group where we shared our sales and everything. We were all in e-commerce. And at the end of the year, we post what our sales were for that year. And at that time, I just had hit 400,000 for the year. And I was so excited about it. And I posted in the group. But what I realized is I didn't post it in the group. I posted it on my personal Facebook page.
Yeah.
And I was horrified. I was horrified that anyone, my family, my friends would ever see that I am that kind of person, mm-hmm. that I would post my sales like that. And I immediately took it down, but it wasn't fast enough because people are on Facebook all the time. And already some friend of mine actually wrote, congratulations. And I said to him, Sammy, promise me you won't tell anybody. That is how I felt when I did 400,000. And this is very, very common because I didn't want to be perceived as that kind of person.
Yeah.
And then when I hit 1 million in sales, that's when I decided I am going to post it on my personal Facebook group because we need to change this and stop shaming women on talking about money and being proud of making money.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is I find that really women shame other women for wanting money. Even the conversations I've had alone, the response that I get is that, oh, like you said, it's not nice, but it's also, if you want more money, you're not grateful for what you have. You're not being joyful. You're not appreciating the things you have. And I've tried to change it on, I am grateful. I love where I am, but I can give and do more with more. I can only give so much of my time for volunteering, but you can give more money in certain situations. You can give more money to people. You can build your business to reach more people. And I think sometimes it's that guilt that we've talked about is that women put on themselves and other women that you should feel guilty if you want more money. And it's such an important conversation to have to start to change that because it's still that way today with a lot of friends that I have.
Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that conversation you have with yourself where, you know, you're thinking these things, you know, you're a little guilty about it or, you know, you're like, you know, I should be grateful for everything I have. I shouldn't want any more. You know, that is a mindset trap that is keeping you small and is keeping money away from you. There. When I made that decision when I was in my early 50s, and I said, "That's it. I want money. I'm going to say it. I want money. That's it. That's what I'm going after here." And I started listening to a lot of money mindset stuff, you know, and I would just like plug it into my phone, put my headphones on. And I was listening to this one guy, actually Kevin Trudeau. Apparently he just got out of jail. But anyway, that's another story.
Okay, yeah.
But he's really good. And I remember it was Thanksgiving. I was walking down the street in New York City. I got out of the subway. I got my phone out, I put my headphones on, I press play. And he said something so simple, and I will never forget it. He said, if you want to have money, you have to want money.
Mm.
I mean, so simple, but like, I was like, what? You mean I have to actually want it? And this is the secret, okay? This is the money mindset secret. You need to want it. You can't be, oh, I want to be successful and I hope the money will come. And no, we have to also want that as well. And in order to want that, you need to know your numbers. And this is why wanting money is so important and is so related to actually your income statement and the numbers is as a woman entrepreneur or any entrepreneur, you need to know your numbers, okay? You need to understand an income statement and understand your sales, your expenses, what your net profit is, what net profit even means. And you need to understand those numbers, all right? And if, for example, you know, you want to have your business do 100,000 and, you know, your fees are whatever, $150, I'm going to not take out my calculator right now, embarrass myself for my bad math skills. But you then take 100,000 and you divide it up into 150, and then you start to understand, oh, and I'm just going to make up a number. This means I need to have 50 sessions like this a year, or right. whatever it comes out to. Right. And you start to understand the numbers because you know what you want, mm-hmm. and you have that number. And, you know, a little ninja trick is I really do believe in those numbers. So, for example, if I want to do, you know, $300,000 a month, all right, on in my sales right now, which I do, okay, and even more, I want to increase that, then I know I need to increase it by, you know, selling more products. And therefore, I know the number of products. Therefore, I have to sell a certain amount a day, which makes me decide which products those are, which makes me start to think, how am I going to market it, which makes me start to put actions into place of what I'm going to do in order to sell it in newsletters and whatever. So that is why wanting money and knowing the number you want is so helpful to grow your business.
Yes. That was actually, it's so interesting you say that. I just had this conversation the other day where, you know, you might want to say you want to make 100,000 to start. That's your next goal. Great, great goal to have. But in order to do that, you have to break it down and figure out what that looks like. Not just because you, not just because you should know the numbers, but also it'll help you see what actionable daily steps you need to take. Because otherwise it's 100,000, great, but you're not doing anything different or shifting in the daily things. If I know I need 10 shoots a month, well, now I know that's the goal for each month, and I can break it down easier rather than a goal that seems unattainable because I haven't broken it down. So I love that you said that, and to really know the numbers, because it helps put in perspective what you need to change daily in order to get that. So, and yeah. I love your growth, by the way. I think you're incredible. And I know you are releasing a book, The 7 Keys to 7 Figures, The Woman's Entrepreneur Guide to Money and Freedom. So why this book? Why now? What inspired that?
Okay. I started to ask myself a few years ago, how in the world did I do this? Like, how did I create a multiple seven-figure business? Like, I didn't go to business school. I don't know how to sew. I sell women's clothing. I don't know how to make a pattern. Like, you know, I don't know how I did it. And that was the question I asked myself. And that is how the book came out. And I started to realize that there were really seven steps that I took, or seven activities, seven focuses that I did that brought my business from five figures to multiple seven. And I wanted to really help other women entrepreneurs so they could be successful as well, because I found that anybody can do it, that it really is a matter of, first of all, wanting it, focusing on it, getting the help you need in order to do it, your mindset, understanding that failures are really part of it, giving yourself downtime, which we spoke about before, meditation time, that all of these steps are what brought my business from being not such a great business to where it is now, which is a very healthy, successful business. Mm-hmm. And I had such a strong desire to let other women entrepreneurs know about it so I can help them too. And also the second reason also is my own business, which is e-commerce, is very much just really, it's just my business, okay? And who I'm helping is I'm helping my manufacturers in Bali and the women who make my clothes, which I'm very proud of. And I'm helping women get beautiful clothing that is affordable and looks great on them. But I also had this like strong need inside of me of teaching, of giving, of, you know, inspiring others as well. You know, that's also like, it was my yearning. It was my wanting. It was my wondering, you know, I wonder, can I? Yeah. And I just got in a really fortunate position, and I signed up for a book writing course. You know, I love books. I'm a massive reader anyway. Right. I just love to read. I love to write also. And one thing led to another, and I had a book.
I think that's incredible. I'm so excited to read it. I have not read, I haven't even signed up for the VIP list yet. I was going through your fabulous website. I did, however, download a PDF that you have available right now. And that is the 7 mistakes most entrepreneurs make and what to do instead. So as I was going through them, I was like, okay, I really want people to download this. It has great information packed in and how to turn the negative mindset into, well, how can I flip this and use it? So is there one that we can just talk about so they go and download the PDF, of course, and maybe it's that first one, which is thinking you can't do it. Will you talk about that mistake that entrepreneurs make?
Yeah, this is such a huge common one. And I can't do it because I'm too young. I can't do it because I'm too old. Okay, by the way, I did it when I was 55. You can't do it because you're not technical. You can't do it because you're not good with people. You can't do it because you don't know how to hold a camera and take a video of yourself. All of these are, we could all come up with a lot of them. All of them. Okay. Actually, I'll share one. A friend of mine the other day, he actually wants to become a coach. All right. But he doesn't like his voice. All right. So he said to me that he's not going to start looking for clients until he takes his voice lessons in order to improve his voice. Okay. So I started to tell him, well, this is, you're sabotaging yourself. Okay. And this is what we do. So we come up with all these excuses. We think they're really good reasons. All right. Like he doesn't like his voice. That's a really good reason. He'll get much better clients if his voice is better. But this is how we never succeed. Okay. We just put it off and we put it off and we put it off because we think we're not good enough yet, or we don't know how to do it. And everyone started here. You know, this is what we have to realize. And I said at the beginning, there's nobody born successful. There's no entrepreneur that just like woke up one day and did 7 figures in their business. It takes a tremendous amount of work with a tremendous amount of problems that you go through all the time. Mm-hmm. And anyone could really do it. All you need, and I mean all you need, is you need to want to do it. And this is something really important because a lot of women say, I want to make more money. I want to have a business. I want to do this. But they don't really, all right? They want rather to have it easy, or they want rather to be given to it from somebody else, all right? Or they want to keep going to their morning yoga classes and they don't want to give it up. And that is more their want. So without that strong want, nothing will happen. But if you want it, I am telling you, you could be 90 and you could be 10 and you will be successful.
Absolutely. Something you said earlier too about being successful is those failures, which I'm sure you agree. I no longer see them as failures. Every time I do something, I'm like, well, that didn't work. All it does is go, well, I know that that is not going to work in my business at this time or with that person. And really, they're not failures. They're really stepping stones on how not to do something. And it's interesting when you first start a business, maybe for myself, for sure. When I hit a failure, big or small, it felt soul crushing because it's the first time you're doing it. You feel like this is it. A failure is a sign not to do it. And in reality, the more you do it, the more you're like, oh, failures start to hurt a little less and they start to become ways to navigate through the next thing. So I really like what you said about, you know, failure earlier, that you're going to fail. You're going to fail often. And there's not really a good reason not to start if you have that wonder, especially if it's a deep enough want. You're absolutely right. We're always going to find ways to do it. It's not going to be handed to us in the way we want it to, but we can work towards it. So you're absolutely right. And I know most of us do get into business for freedom, along with other reasons, whether it's passion or knowing or that wonder. And it's the thing that we want to do all the time, but it ends up like really taking all of our time and every second, and we end up doing much more work for it in business. So how can you chat a little bit about having your business serve you rather than you serve your business?
You need to make that your mantra, okay? It's like you need to know that this business is here to serve you. It works for you and you don't work for it, okay? Mm-hmm. Because if you don't make that like statement to yourself in your meditation or in your journal or be really clear about it, your business will run your life and you don't want that to happen. So how do you stop that from happening? First of all, you have to want that, okay? And you need to actually say, I am going to take control of this business. And then you literally have to take control of your time, all right? Otherwise, it will just, you know, you'll start in the morning and you'll go to 9 or 10 at night. I believe that there's no reason for anyone to have to work more than 5 hours a day. And I don't mean that for women entrepreneurs that are just starting or startups, okay? There are definitely times, especially at the beginning, where you need to work really hard and really a lot. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you do have to work that, you know, 7 days a week, or it's going on like that for months. But after you get to a certain point in your business where you have things flowing, if you use enough structure and discipline, and what I do is I do a lot of calendar, you know, basically mapping where I have my to-do list. I open up my calendar. I just use iCal on my MacBook, but I know a lot of people like to use Google, you know, calendar. And you look at your to-do list. And then what I do is I circle the ones that will make me money. All right. So if there's a bunch of stuff on it, you know, which is basically like, for example, change the price, you know, or, you know, put this on sale, you know, versus something else, which is like, check out my emails and respond to this person, I will circle the get the sales going. Okay. And then that gets scheduled into my calendar. Mm-hmm. So from 12 to 1, I'm doing this. From 1 to 2, I'm doing this. From 3 to 4, I'm doing this. And you then follow your schedule that way. If you don't do this, if you don't really kind of batch your time in your calendar, then your business then flies away and you end up working for your business and you end up working for your to-do list all the time. And this takes discipline, but this is a ninja trick that I encourage every woman entrepreneur to do this, is really schedule your time in a calendar. I usually do this at the end of the day. So I'll open up my list, I'll look at it, I'll see what's the ones that are going to move me forward faster or, you know, be more successful, and I'll schedule it into the next day's calendar.
Mm-hmm. I really like what you said about the 5 hours a day. And again, prefacing that with not usually when you start, because there's a lot on that front end. But once you start building, you can work less hours. It might look differently. Like I break mine up. I work a little in the morning. I take that break for my walk so I can enjoy the sunshine, because one of the reasons I started a business is so I can be outside and not stuck in an office all day. And I'll work maybe later. And what's interesting is when I've had conversations with people from 9 to 5 jobs is they're like, oh, I can't do that. I have to work 8 hours. But thinking about even when they're working, they're probably not doing a lot more work than 5 hours a day, because how many people there are on Facebook, checking texts, doing their own appointments and doing all that other personal stuff. So I really like that you said that. Of course, there might be some days where you are a little bit busier, but the next day you can back off and have a little less hours. So I think that's important to do as well, because I've noticed that in my own business in the last just couple years, I can kind of pull back and start to integrate that joy in every day even more. So I totally yes. agree.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's so important. And another trick is the Pomodoro trick, which is that's basically using a little egg thing for like a timer, like yes. a kitchen timer, all right? Mm-hmm. And really putting your, you know, saying, okay, I'm going to work for 30 minutes right now, and then I'm going to take a 5-minute break. It's the discipline of this that will stop you from working for your business and mm-hmm. will start getting you to that your business is working for you.
Absolutely. That I love that. I might have to use some of that as well. What I learned quite a few years ago that works for me is I have 5 tasks a day normally that I have to get done. Now, if I happen to get them done fast and I want to do a couple more, okay. But really, I just have to get those things done. And that allows me to do joyful things during the day, whether it's be with my fiance or go on that walk or be with my dog. so that I'm not just like next task after next, because most of those can be done the next day. And then you can, like you said, prioritize which ones actually need to be done, what's going to move the needle. So I really like that you kind of shifted that too. So now on to you again for a second. I want to know, what's like next on your goals? Is there something that you're excited about moving towards or dreaming about doing in business?
You know, I'm at a place right now where I'm interested more in being less ambitious than more ambitious. Mm-hmm. So I had a really tough year, 2022, in my business. And I ended up having health problems, okay, in February and March. And I have just done a complete reset in my own life. And instead of just like more, I'm kind of looking for less. And I'm also kind of exploring the idea of like, maybe I did enough. And I know this is like very anti our world, you know what I mean? Because we're always trying to do more. But I am focusing much more on appreciating what I've already done. And that is in business, that is very much my business that I've built and continuing to like take care of my baby, which is my business, and be a great CEO of my ship, of my business ship. And also I'm really excited about my book coming out, yeah. Seven Keys to Seven Figures, The Woman Entrepreneur's Guide to Money and Freedom. And that I'm really excited about. I'm excited to, you know, get this out into the world for women to read it. My greatest dream is to inspire other women. If they can take one tip out of the book and it could change their lives, that would just make me so incredibly happy, because it's really not that difficult. It might feel difficult, but it isn't. It just takes, you know, I did a video the other day and I was like, okay, what is the number one key to success? Honestly, if everyone wants to just understand what the one thing is, and it's this, it's called perseverance. All right. It's just keep going. That is the key. And this is something that many people don't do. All right. You have bad times, you stop, and you just don't stop. And you just keep going and going. So I'm very excited for the book coming out. But in general, in terms of building more, I am wanting to take more and more time to be empty and to enjoy what I already do have.
Yes. Now, I've never been to Indonesia, but I'm going to get married next year. And the place he wants to go for a honeymoon is Indonesia. So I might be bugging you about some things, because when you said it, I was like, why have I not been thinking about this? Of course I can ask her about it. And so we started to look into that just slightly. And now since talking to you, I'm even more excited. I think it's
cool. Oh, yeah. So, Bali does weddings and honeymoons really, yeah. really well.
Now, is there anything that maybe has been on your heart? I know you've shared a lot on your heart already, but anything that you've just felt that's special to you that you'd maybe want to share lately, personal or business?
Well, it really is what I kind of just said. You know, I ended up in the hospital, actually in Bali, with dengue fever, which is like a tropical disease, in March, which is recently. And it literally just made me stop. Okay. It made me, I stopped business. I just had to stop everything. I'm a very ambitious person, which is, I guess, why I have the success that I do have. But I realized that, you know, it was affecting my health also. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this whole idea of more, and it's something just that I've been thinking about so much, as, you know, we discussed earlier about there's so much burdens on women. And it seems like it's going more and more in this direction. Like there's just too much on our shoulders. It's too much. Mm-hmm. So I've been thinking about this and feeling this a lot more lately, and really wanting everyone to encourage themselves to ask themselves the question, what does authentic success mean to you? What does freedom mean to you? How much money do you really need to have the kind of life you want? Because really, there's nothing more important than your life and your health. Mm-hmm. So this is sort of what has been very much on my shoulders. And of course, the importance, which we spoke about already, of having a spiritual practice that you do every single day.
Yes, absolutely. You're right about that. And everyone's authentic self of what is enough or what is their goal is so different. So that's important to know that. It doesn't need to be what your neighbors desire. It can be whatever is true to your heart to want to attain. So that's so important. Now,
so important.
How can we find you, find your book that's coming out, find your PDF, follow you, and learn all the things?
Yeah, I would love you to go to my website, which is my name, lesliecooster.com. You could download there the, you know, 7 sabotaging mistakes most women entrepreneurs make. And just, you could sign up anywhere on my website, and I am going to be having a lot of bonuses. I'm looking for women to help me promote this book, and anything you can do to help would be appreciated, and you will get a lot of free things in return. And then, of course, you could find me on Instagram and Facebook as well.
Wonderful. And I'll add all of that in the notes so that people can click and find you even easier in case they weren't able to write it down. So that's perfect. Thank you so much, Leslie. You're so beautiful. I've been smiling. It hurts. And thank you for everything that you've shared today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Shauna.
Do you have a client management system that you love? Tools for modern, creative, professional, proposals, contracts, payments, and more. You can now manage projects, book clients, send invoices, and get paid all on HoneyBook. I've been using HoneyBook for over 2 years and cannot recommend it enough. And now I have a referral link if you want to use it too and get 60% off your first year of HoneyBook. Simply head over to share.honeybook.com/ShaunaStar. That's ShannaStar, and get 60% off your first year using HoneyBook.